Today's daf is my cotton daf tes vav, and we are 9 lines from the bottom of daf yud dalid amid beis. Mitzayra mahu sheyinoik tzaratoi beregel. Today's daf is being learned as a schus refor shalem for Shlomo ben Tzara Aliza, Avadia ben Miriam Leah, Meshaba ben Devora, Devora bas Mechel, Shmu ben Tehila, Avram ben Gittel Edel, Sara Nechama bas Rus Malka, Rafal Kahas ben Fega, Baruch ben Rachel, Chaya Malka bas Batsheva, Pinya Gittel bas Rachel Shendel, Chaya Sara bas Esther, Meira Chava bas Shoshana, and Esther Kreindel bas Devora. Today's daf is also being learned Ilu Nishmas Doiv Beryl ben Rabbi Yaakov David. So yesterday we began the third perek, a classic perek, perek Ve'elu Megalchem, which deals primarily with the laws of Avelus, stating that the very first sugya in the perek dealt with the halacha that states that one is not allowed to cut his hair and one is not allowed to wash his clothing on Chol HaMoed. There are exceptions to the rule. The exceptions of the rule are mentioned in the Mishnah. Thus, the name of the Mishnah, the name of the Perek, Ve'elu Megalchem HaMoed, these are the people that are exceptions to the prohibition to cut your hair on Chol HaMoed. They're allowed to cut their hair on Chol HaMoed. The next part of the Mishnah was Ve'elu Mechapsim HaMoed. These are people that are exceptions to the rule. They're allowed to wash their clothing on Chol HaMoed. But the Gemara already on Daf Yud Daled Amud Beis immediately shifted gears into the primary focus of the parak, and that is it got involved in the laws of Avelos. Specifically, the Gemara had a shiloh whether Avelos is noyeg on Yontif, or whether Avelos is not noyeg on Yontif. From there, the Gemara went on to discuss whether the laws of Nidoy, if somebody's in Cheirim, so he now has to observe some very stringent halachas. Are those halachas noyeg on Yontif, or are they not noyeg on Yontif? The Gemara now is going to pick up on a similar note, and that is discuss the laws of a Mitzayra. Again, whose dinim are very, very stringent. Are they noyeg on Yontif, or are they not noyeg on Yontif? So we discussed whether the laws of Avelus are noyeg on Yontif. We did discuss whether the laws of Nidoy are noyeg on Yontif. We're going to now discuss whether the laws of Mitzayra are noyeg on Yontif. And the truth is that these three topics, Avelus, Nidoy, and Mitzayra, are going to be the topic of the daf. In fact, today's daf is very stop and go, so that the Gemara is going to discuss, if you do the math, in total 14 different shilas, and the Gemara is going to discuss them all from the standpoint, how do they apply to Avelos? How do they apply to Nidoy? And how do they apply to Mitzayra? I think it's worth mentioning these 14 things as a precap. It goes very, very quickly, because it'll just give a little bit of a sense of what this daf is going to feel like. So number one, Yontif. Is Avelos noyeg in Yontif? Is Nidui noyeg in Yontif? What about a Mitzayra? All his halachas. What does he do when it's Yontif? Tispiris. Are you allowed to cut your hair? Can an oval cut his hair? Could someone that's a menuda cut his hair? Could a Mitzayra cut his hair? Atifa Saroish. There was an idea that someone that was an oval had to have a head covering. How does that apply to someone that's in Cherim? How does that apply to a Mitzayra? Tfilin. How do the laws of Tfilin interact with these three people? Saying Shalom Aleichem if someone's in this state. Could an oval, a menuda, or a Mitzayra learn Torah? Could he wash his clothing? Does he have an obligation to rice kriya? Does he have to turn his bed upside down, which was once considered a custom when it comes to mourning? Are they allowed to go to work? Are they allowed to bathe? Are they allowed to wear shoes? What about tashmish amita? Could they bring a carbon? They can't enter the azara, but could they send a carbon through a shliach? The Gemara is going to discuss those 14 different shailas, all in the context of number one, Avel, number two, a Menuda, and number three, a Mitzayra. So we really began this, we literally scratched the surface at the end of yesterday's daf. We discussed the first of the 14 shailas, and that is Yontif, specifically Avelos. Is it Noyeg and Yontif or not? The Gemara said it's not. Menuda, that was a little bit of a shaila. We pick up now with Mitzayra. So says the Gemara, Mitzayra, mahu sheyinoik tzarate beregel. Someone's a Mitzayra, now it's Yontif. So what does he do? A Mitzayra had to be a badad yeshef. A Mitzayra had a lot of very chamer halachas. Does he have to observe all his chamer halachas on Yontif, or does he not? Amar Abayis, Abayis, Etoshma, I'll bring you a raya from our Mishnah. That's why we're discussing this. The Mishnah said, v'hanazir, v'hamitzayra, So the Mishnah, when it listed the examples of Eilu Megalchem B'mayim, it's a mention if somebody was a Mitzayra and he became Tahar on Yontif. So the halacha is, this person is now allowed to be Megaleach. He couldn't be Megaleach before Yontif. Now that he became Tahar on Yontif, so on Yontif you can't be Megaleach, but on Chol HaMoed you can be Megaleach. So this person is allowed to be Megaleach on Chol HaMoed. So the Gemara makes a dig. Ha, it sounds like said Abaya, be made to Masai Noig. What would be if this was a Mitzayra that wasn't Oila, me to Masai Latar Rasai, but he was a Mitzayra that's Adayim to Masai? So now it's Yontif, it's too bad. He's not allowed to break and go away from his halachas of Mitzayra. Now, if you're going to tell me that the halachas that a Mitzayra doesn't have to be Noig, his Tsaras, he doesn't have to be Noig, all these halachas on Yontif, just like an Oval doesn't have to. So too a Mitzayra doesn't have to. So if that's the case, Frank the Gemara, why only a Mitzayra that's Oyla Mitumasai Latarasai? Every Mitzayra, even if he's Adayim Bitumasai, the halacha should be that he should be from the Eilu Megalchem B'mayim. So says Abaye, there's a klar diak. It's only the Mitzayra that's Oyla Mitumasai Latarasai, but a regular Mitzayra not. But the Gemara says, no, it's not Muchach. Lo'ilam, I can tell you, lo'im mi'bayu kamar. Maybe the reason the Mishnah mentioned a Mitzayra that's Oyla Mitumasai Latarasai is the Mishnah wanted to tell me a bigger chiddush, meaning lo'im mi'bayu be made to Masai the Lainoyik. That's Pashit, that a regular Mitzayra, maybe the halach is that his Mitzayra is not Noyeg on Yontif, and therefore he's included in the exception to the rule of Eilu Megalchem B'mayim. Aval Tarasai Nigzar, but you would think that maybe a Mitzayra that's Oila Mitumasai Latarasai, maybe he's more Chomer. How could it be more Chomer? Because you would think that maybe you should make a Gzeira Shema Yasha Karbonosav. A person that completes his state of being a Mitzayra. So one of the things he had to do was, he had to bring a carbon. So the Gemara is saying now that there would have been a Havamina, the Mitzayra is allowed to bring his Karbonos on Chol HaMoed, but he's not allowed to bring his Karbonos on Yontif. So you would have thought that maybe a Mitzayra who completes his period of being a Mitzayra on Chol HaMoed, maybe we don't allow him to finish it on Chol HaMoed. We actually tell him that you have to wait until after Yontif, because we're afraid that maybe he's not going to bring his Karbonos on Chol HaMoed. He's going to procrastinate a little bit, and he's going to end up bringing it on the second day's Yontif. And that's not something you're allowed to do. Nedarim and Nedavis, we paskin, ain't craving the Yontif. So therefore, we're afraid that that may be something that he's going to do. So maybe we were actually more machmer when it came to a Mitzayra that's Oyla Mitumasai Latarasai. Or at least there would have been such a Havamina. So it says the Gemara, maybe the reason the Mishnah mentioned that a Mitzayra that's Oyla Mitumasai Latarasai is the Eilu Megalchem B'mayim, not because only such a Mitzayra is from the Eilu Megalchem B'mayim. It could be all Mitzayraim are Eilu Megalchem B'mayim. Because every single Mitzayra, maybe the laws of Mitzayra are not Noyeg on Yontif. Just like Avelos is not Noyeg on Yontif, this is also not Noyeg on Yontif. So why did the Mishnah say that? Isn't that the bigger Chiddush? You're telling me that he's Oyla Mitumah L'Tayra? Tell me the bigger Chiddush. Even if he's a Dayim B'mei Tomas. The Gemara says, no, that's actually the lesser Chiddush. Because there's a bigger Chiddush when you're Oyla Mitumah L'Tayra that we allow you to complete your Mitzayra. Why would you think you can't allow a Mitzayra to complete his Mitzayra on Yontif? Because you would be afraid that if you're going to allow him to complete it, maybe he'll end up bringing his Karbonos on Yontif. Now, on Chol HaMoed, you can bring your Karbonos, but on Yontif itself, you can't. That's what we're worried about. Kamash Malon. But the bottom line is, you have no right from the Mishnah. So, Amar Rava, Rava said, there's no right from the Mishnah, Tashma. I could bring you a raya from somewhere else. I'll bring you a raya from a braisa. The pasuk says, "Va'atzaru asher boi hanega begodav yiu frumim v'roisha yiu parua." So we're talking about the tzarua. We're talking about the mitzayra. And the pasuk mentions different halachas related to a mitzayra. So the Gemara says the word the hatzarua is extra. The rabbi's kohen gadol, that a kohen gadol has to be noyeg dinei tzara. So Rava said gishmak va'kohen gadol d'chana shoshano keregel kuli amadami. A kohen gadol, his every day of the year is the equivalent to Yontif for other people. Meaning, for the Kohen Gadol, it's literally Yontif in the Vachan. The whole year for him is Yontif. In what way? What, every day it's Yontif? What does that mean? The Tanakh we learned in the Mishnah, Mishnah Masechtas Ha'iri is Kohen Gadol Makriv Oinein, a Kohen Gadol that's an Oinein. So a Kohen Gadol that loses a relative, and the relative wasn't buried yet. So a person is an Oinein at that point. An Oinein has a lot of very serious halachas. An Oinein, certainly, if he's a Kohen, can't do the Avodah. However, a Kohen Gadol that's an Oinein is allowed to do the Avodah. In a Yoichel, however, he's not allowed to eat from Karbonis. Now, how is it possible that a Kohen Gadol is allowed to do the Avodah when he's an Oinein? A Kohen's not allowed to do the Avodah when he's an Oinein. You know what the Teretz must be? Because a Kohen Gadol, klapi avoid in the Beis HaMikdash, we treat a regular day like it's Yontif. And just like we said, there's no Avelis on Yontif, there's no Aninos on Yontif, so if every day for the Kohen Gadol is Yontif, that's why the Kohen Gadol is able to be Makrivoinin. But what do you see from here? You see that a Kohen Gadol's every day is really like Yontif. This is a Chiddush, but that's what the Gemara is saying. And Afal Pikein, we just said that the Kohen Gadol learned out from the word Vahatzarua has to be Noyeg Dinei Tzaras. Shma Mino, that's a Raya Noyeg Tzaratoi Beregel, that an ordinary person would also have to be noyik his dinei tzaras on yontif, shma mino, and this is a raya. So Abaye attempted to bring a raya from our Mishnah, the Gemara knocked out that raya. Rava brings a raya from a braiso, and the Gemara said, shma mino, that is very much a raya. So what's the bottom line? A mitzera has to be noyik his dinei tzaras on yontif. Just because yontif comes, doesn't mean he gets pushed off. You're going to say, mecha tasty, why would you think it should get pushed off? There's a precedent for that. Avelus gets pushed off, so maybe mitzera, which is me'inyan le'inyan, so you would think maybe he gets pushed off as well. The answer is no. How do I know that? From the Kohen Gadol. Because if the Kohen Gadol had to be Noyeg Dine Mitzayra, that means every Mitzayra on Yontif also has to be Noyeg Dine Mitzayra. What Shaykh is? Because the Kohen Gadol is Yontif every single day. So if the Kohen Gadol every day has Dine Mitzayra, so you see that Mitzayra is not a steerer to Yontif, and that means any single person, if it is Yontif, and he's a Mitzayra, he would have to continue along with his Dine Mitzayra. So this concludes the first of the 14 topics. The other ones are going to move more quickly. The first one was Avel, Menuda, and Mitzayra. Yeah, Noyega Yontif, not Noyega Yontif. Topic number two is Tespiris, cutting one's hair. Avel, also with Tespiris. An Avel's not allowed to cut his hair. How do you know that? Midikamadu Rachmanu B'nei Aharon, because the Torah told the Bnei Aharon. So the context over here is Parsha Shmini. It was Yom HaKamas HaMishkan, Nadav and Aviyu passed away. Ba'krivam Eish Zorah Lefnei Hashem. So they were nifter prematurely. Tremendous discussion in Chazal. Why? But the bottom line is, we all know about the Misa of Nadav and Aviyu. Now, as soon as Nadav and Aviyu die, Aharon HaKoyen and Nadav and Aviyu's brothers, Elazar and Isamar, they became Oininim, they became Aveilim. Now the Torah comes, and the Torah told Elazar and Isamar, Roshechem al tifro, don't let your hair grow long. Meaning, even though you're an Avel, but don't let your hair grow long. Michlal, so the Gemara says, what do you see from here? The Kulei Amalasa, that ordinarily an Avel would have to allow his hair to grow long. There was a Hirasha that Elazar and Isamar were told that don't follow what the law should really be. Meaning, you're an Avel, so theoretically you should let your hair grow long. Don't allow it to happen. Zoysei Meris, that's something that an Avel's usually supposed to do. Menudin Mitzera, Mahin, Bittesperis. What about a Menudin Mitzera? Are they allowed to cut their hair or not? So the Gemara's Tashma, bring you a Raya. Menudin Umitzayroin, Asurin, Lesaper, Ulechabes. Pretty straightforward. A Menuda and a Mitzayro, Asurin, Lesaper. That's our Shiloh. So you see clearly, they're not allowed to cut their hair either. The Gemara just brings the end of the Bryce as well. Menuda Shemes, Menuda that dies, Bezdin, Soichlin, Asaroine. Bezdin would stone this person's arm. So if somebody died in a state of Nidoy, again, that's a certain type of Cherim, but if somebody died in a state of Nidoy, so Bezdin would stone his arm. Rabbi Huda said, Loishi, Amidu, all of Gal, Avonim, Kigal, Shalachan. That don't think it means that they should do what Yeshua ben Nun did to Achan in the beginning of Sefer Yeshua. So Achan was a person that he was mile after one of the wars when really he wasn't supposed to. He ended up getting skila, and it says that they took a gal shel avonim, they took a large heap of stones, and they put it on top of his aron. So Rabbi Yehuda said that you may think that this Braisa that says Menuda Shemes Bezdin Soiklin Asaroinoi, you're gonna say, oh, I learned Nach, and I know what they did to Achan, so maybe that's what the Braisa means. Rabbi Yehuda said no, he clarified that. Don't do that. Ela Bezdin Shulchan, Bezdin Sen Shluchim, Umanichin Evagadel Al Aroinoi, they would put one large stone, not a gal shel avonim like they did with Achan, but only one stone, albeit a large stone, and Lila Medcha, this comes to teach us halacha, Shakala Misnada, any person that's in Nidoi, who may spin Niduyav, and he dies in the state of Nidoy, Bezdin, Soiklin, Asaroinoi, Bezdin would stone his Zarin. Next halacha, Avil Chayiv Ba'atif Asaroish. An Avil has an obligation to cover his head. What's the Makarta? This is Kesmidikamali Rachmanali Yecheskel, because David should told Yecheskel, Veloy Sate Al Safon. Do not cover your head. Michlal, you see from here, the Kuliyam Mechayev, that everybody else is supposed to. So what's this pasuk in Yecheskel? And the truth is, the Gemara is going to refer back to this chapter in Yecheskel. It's Yecheskel Perik Chav Dalet. It's very important. We'll get to it, Be'ez Hashem, in one of the later dafin. But what we need for today's daf is that Hashem comes to Yecheskel, and he tells Yecheskel that your wife is going to die. This is what he tells Yecheskel. And he says that your natural inclination is going to be to mourn her. But at the same time, I don't want you to do what mourners typically do. And he goes on and he tells Yecheskel a whole list of things that Yecheskel shouldn't do. And Chazal learned from those psukim all the things that an avil really is supposed to do. Because what was the whole punchline of the Nevuah? The punchline was, Hashem tells Yecheskel, you're going to be an avil. And ordinarily an avil is supposed to do this, that, and the other thing. You don't do them. Oh, Michal, you see from here all the things that an avil is supposed to do. So the Gemara says, an avil is chai batifas harosh. Yeah, now you know that. Because Hashem told Yecheskel, Yecheskel, when you're going to be in this state of avilus, don't do that. Oh, so you say Meres, Mechlal. You see from here that ordinarily an Oval is supposed to do that. Menudah ma'abativis ha'reish. What about a Menudah? Is he supposed to cover his head? I'm Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef said, Toshma, I'll bring you a Raya. A Raya from a Braisa that the Gemara brings in Masechtes Tainis, Daf Yudalad Amid Beis. The context over there is it hasn't rained for a very long period of time, and as a result, the Tanesim are starting to intensify. And one of the things the Braisa says is that it got to a point that the Yidin, they started fasting, but not just fasting. The him Misatfin, they would also be Misatef, they would also cover their head, the yoishvin, and they would sit kemenudin, as if they were in a state of nidoy, ukavelim, as if they were mourning, achi rachmu aleim in hashamayim, until finally they had Yeshua, until everything finally settled itself out. But what do you see? That these people, they were misatvin, they were covered kemenudin, ukavelim. So you see clearly that someone that's a menudah is supposed to be ba'atifa. We know that an avil is supposed to be ba'atifa, but the lashon of the brayso was that they were behaving not just like avelim, but like menudin. Also, we see that a menudah is chay ba'atifa sarosh. Amalei Abayas. Abayas told Rabbi Yosef, whenever there's Rabbi Yosef, there's Abaya. We can't say it enough times, every single time. So, said Abaya to Rabbi Yosef, Dilma menudah l'shamayim shani. Says, I don't know if that's a raya. Said, the Yidin are behaving like menudin. But menudin to who? HaKadosh Baruch Hu put them in nidoy. When we're talking about a nidoy in the Gemara, we don't mean that Hashem put the person in nidoy. We don't have that kind of access. What we're talking about is Bezdin put someone in nidoy. So said Abaya, you bringing me a raya? Someone that's menudah l'shamayim, maybe he's chay bativis harosh. Because the chomer, he's more chomer, but you have no raya that someone that's menudah Bezdin, that someone like that needs a tivis harosh. So the Gemara leaves it with that. Mitzayir ma ba tivis harosh. What about a mitzayir? Did he have to cover his head? The Gemara says, Tashma. This is easy. The pasuk says, Vatzaru ashaboy hanega. V'chulu v'al sofam yata. Yeah, he has to cover his head. Mechlal, you see from here, Shechai v'ativis harosh, that's something he's obligated to do. Shema mino, that's pretty clear. Next halacha, tefillin. This is a classic. This requires raid bites, but we're not going to have time today. We have to get back to shaving a chol hamoed soon. Avil asul aniach tefillin. An avil is not allowed to wear tefillin. How do you know that? Because this is one of the things that Hashem told Yecheskel he should do. He told him, pe'ercha chavoy shalecha. He said that when you're going to be in this state of avelos, you should wear your pe'er. What's the pe'er that he was referring to? The tefillin. Oh, mechlal, the kuli alma aser. Yecheskel, you're supposed to wear tefillin in a state of avelos, but every other avil is not supposed to wear tefillin. So you see clearly that an avil doesn't wear tefillin. Menudah ma'al betefillin. What about a menudah? Does a menudah wear tefillin? The Gemara says, teiku, one word answer. Mitzayru ma'al betefillin. What about a mitzayru? Does he wear tefillin? Tashma, I'll bring you a raya. It says, v'hatzaru ashaboy hanega, begod of you, prumim, v'roisho yiya parua. So begod of his clothing should be torn, v'roisho yiya parua. So the Gemara is going to discuss what that means. Vatzarua, the word vatzarua, we just had the price a moment ago. The rabbi's kohen gadol. That's coming to be marba, a kohen gadol. Begod of you, prumim, shiya mikuram. It's coming to teach us that his clothing was supposed to be torn. V'roisho yiya parua. What does this mean? Topic of this price, ein priya el gidol ser. It means that he's supposed to have long hair. Divri rabbi liyazer. Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Kiva said no, it means something else. Because nemra havaya b'roish. It says the word havaya b'roish. Begodov Rabbi Akiva, begodov is something that's external to the body, right? Your clothing are not who you are. Maybe it makes the man, but it's not the man. So it's certainly external. So when we say that begodov yiu perumim, we're talking about a davar shechutz migufoy. Afavaya beroish, davar shechutz migufoy. So when it says veroish yiu perua, it doesn't mean the hair, because the hair is part of the person. It means something that's external. So there's something that sometimes is on the person, but now it should be perua. What does perua mean? It should be exposed from it. If it doesn't mean the hair, it must mean biloshen expose, uparas roish yisha. Right? You expose the hear of the woman by the saita. So obviously it means something external. What's this external thing that sometimes a person has on his head? Now we're saying the Mitzvah is not allowed to have his own left tefillin. What else could it be? It must be tefillin. I'm a rab. Rav said, no. Maybe it means a couple of, it means a hat, a fedora. Lav dafke means tefillin. You have no right. Avol asa b'sheilo shalom. Next topic. An avol is not allowed to give shalom aleichem. How do you know that? Yecheskel. The kamalei rechmanel yecheskel. Because Hashem told Yecheskel, hey, oneg doim. Don't talk. No shalom aleichem. What about someone that's in chayim? Is he allowed to give shalom aleichem? I'm Rav Yosef Tashma. The pasuk says, referring back to the yidden that are fasting because another week and another week and another week has passed and it still hasn't rained. So now they intensify it to the point that they have to start behaving like people that are menudin, right? So it says, ubeshela shalom shben adam l'chaver. They stopped saying shalom aleichem, kivnei adam hanezufin la'mokayim. That they would stop saying shalom aleichem and they behaved as if they were in a state of nidui. Oh, so you see that someone that's nidui doesn't say shalom aleichem. But Amalei Abaye, again, who said it? Rav Yosef. So Abaye told Rav Yosef, dilma menudu l'shamayim shani d'chamer. No, you can't bring a riot from here because maybe this is talking about someone that's menudu l'shamayim. Menudah l'shamayim, again, it's more chamor. It hasn't rained, and the Yidden are acting as if they're in a state of nidoy. Nidoy too. Bezdin put them in nidoy, the Eibishter put them in nidoy. But in our sugi, we're discussing someone that's menudah only lebezdin, and being that he's menudah lebezdin, could be it's not a raya. Either way, says the Gemara. So, avos, now let us say shalom aleichem. A menudah, we're not sure. Mitzayra, what about a mitzayra? That's the third category in all these shaylas. Ma'u b'sheila shalom tashma. The pasuk says, va'al safam yate. And we learn from here, literally, it means covering. But Chazal had a different drasha. Shiyu sifsoisav medubakoy zubezu. The person's lips are supposed to be tightly sealed. Shiyehe kemenuda uka'avil va'aser b'sheila shalom shma mina. You have a klar raya? So you see that the mitzayra has to be sifsoisav medubakoy zubezu is aser b'sheila shalom. Says the Gemara of Enifsha minala menuda. Why isn't this a raya that a menuda also is not let be b'sheila shalom? Right? What did the Brisa say? Val sofam yata. The pasuk's talking about a mitzayra. Melamed, you see from here, shiyu sifsoisav medubakoy zubezu. His lips are supposed to be sealed. Shiyehe kemenuda makavil. He should be like a menuda in a novel. V'aser b'sheila shalom. So you see the mitzayra is aser b'sheila shalom. That's obvious. That is the drasha. But it also says that he's like the menud and the oval. So you see a menud is asa b'shei l'shalom. You see an oval is asa b'shei l'shalom. Now we knew an oval is asa b'shei l'shalom. You weren't sure about a menud. It's afraid to gemara. What do you mean? This braisa that says that a mitzayr is asa b'shei l'shalom also says seemingly that a menud is asa b'shei l'shalom. I'm Rav Achav, Rav Pinchas, Mishrein, Rav Yosef. No. Because mik tani she asr, she yehe ke menud ka oval ktani. B'mili achra naisa, v'asa nami b'shei l'shalom. So Rav Achav, Rav Pinchas said in the name of Rav Yosef, this is the way you read the braisa. This is why it's not clear. Again, the Brisa says, "Va'al safam yat sheyus if soisim the bakuzu bezu mitzayra his lips have to be sealed." Then sheyehe kemenuda ka'avil, he should be like a menuda, and he should be like a novel. My miramusker, meaning a mitzayra is like a menuda in a novel. Then va'as b'shei l'shalom, he's also as b'shei l'shalom. That has nothing to do with menuda and novel because a menuda maybe is muta b'shei l'shalom. That happens to be another halacha that's true with regards to the mitzvah. So it's two separate things. Number one, sheik menuda kavel. Number two, asa b'shei l'shalom. No raya then that menuda and avol are asa b'shei l'shalom. If it's one thing, sheyehek menuda ka'avol asa b'shei l'shalom. So you see the mitzvah is asa b'shei l'shalom, the menuda and avol. But if it's two things, you have no raya. Number one, sheik menuda kavel. Number two, she asa b'shei l'shalom. Avil also be devei Torah. An avil is not allowed to learn Torah. How do you know that? Because the Ebeshah told Yecheskel doim. He told him shteik. And you see from here that an avil is not allowed to learn Torah. Menuda ma'abed devei Torah. What about a menuda? If someone's in a state of nidoy, is it allowed to learn Torah or not? I'm Rav Yosef. So Rav Yosef said, Toshma, I'll bring you a raya. Menuda shoyna v'shoynen loy. A menuda is allowed to learn and people are allowed to teach him Torah. Niskar, he's allowed to be hired for work. The Niskarim loy, and other people are allowed to work for him. Mukhrim, someone that's in Cherim, loy shayna, v'loy shayna loy, he's not allowed to learn, no one's allowed to teach him. Loy Niskar, he's not allowed to work for somebody, v'loy Niskarim loy, no one's allowed to work for him. Alva shaynu la'atzmoy, but he is allowed to learn to himself, shtilehet, belachash, that's the key word. It's like this, he won't have a hefsek in his learning. He's allowed to have a small store, he can have a little stand or something, so he can make a little bit parnasav. Rav explains, now what it means is, for example, he's allowed to sell water in the shukshal haravos. But the bottom line is, what do you see from here? Shmami, no, you see a menuda is allowed to learn Torah. Right, it said meforish, menuda shayna, v'shayna loy. So you see clearly that a menuda is allowed to learn Torah. So an avos is not allowed to learn Torah, a menuda is allowed to learn Torah. What about a mitzayra? Is a mitzayra allowed to learn Torah? So the Gemara says, Toshma, bring you a raya from a braisa, a very, very famous braisa. This braisa is famous in Masechtas Brachos. It's the Makar to Tfilas Ezra. The Gemara says, it says in the Pasuk, V'yidatum levanecha v'levnei venecha, yoy masher amadata levnei Hashem alekecha b'chayrev. And we learn from here that there's something about Maimed Har Sinai, That's nogeya every single person in every single generation when he comes to learn Torah. So Maimed Har Sinai was a one-time event. But the way the Torah was handed down at Har Sinai is a paradigm for how a Yid needs to learn Torah. And this is the drasha that the Gemara brings. Ma'ala halon be'emo uveyira uveresis ubezeya. Maimed Har Sinai happened be'emo be'yira. V'chol amroim es ha'koylois. It was beresis es zezeya. Ves ha'lapidim, ves kal ha'shoifer, ves ha'har oshen. V'yara am v'yanu, v'yamdu me'rochik. Everybody was so scared. So Maimed Har Sinai happened in a state of awe. Afkan, when a person learns Torah, it has to be be'emo be'yira uberesis ubezeya. Mekan amru, from Yechaz I learned, ha'zovin v'ha'metzoyroim. Despite the fact that they're Tomei, Mutarim, Likris, Batarim, and Avirim, Muksub, they're allowed to learn Tanakh. For Lishnois, Ben Medrish, Ubatamu, Balachs, Ubagodis, they're allowed to learn Raid and Lumdis, they can learn whatever they want. Ubalek, Royan, however, a Balkari, Asurin, he's also. Why? Because how does somebody become a Balkari? It comes from Kalas Reish, which is the antithesis of Ema Yira, Rasis, and Zeya, and that's the Makar, that someone that's a Balkari is not allowed to learn Tayyar. But what do you see from here? We're not learning the Sugya of Tfilas Ezra, we're not learning the Sugya of Balkari, we're learning the Sugya of Mitzayra. You see that Zavin Mitzayra'in Bayalei Nidais Mutarin Likris Patarim Nevi'im Muxuvan Lishat Medrash Batam Adabai Galish. Mami, no, you see from here that a Mitzayra is allowed to learn Torah. Avol asa b'techboises. An avol is not allowed to wash his clothing. The siv, the pasuk says, Vayishlach yoyev tekoyev, vayikach misham isha chacham. Vayomer eleo, hisablina, velivshina bigdei evel. Put on Don Big Day Evil. Don't smear yourself with oil. And should behave this way for many, many days. So what's the makar? Just one word. Big Day Evil. The fact that there's something called Big Day Evil, mourner's clothing, must be that a mourner is not allowed to wash his clothing. Because if a mourner could wash his clothing, so what would distinguish mourner's clothing from ordinary clothing? It's not a uniform. Must be, because the clothing is not washed. This is a raya that an oval is not allowed to wash his clothing. What about Menudim mitzayra? Are they allowed to wash their clothing? So the Gemara Toshma Menudim mitzayron asurin lesaper lechabes. Pretty straightforward. Shema mina. This is a raya that it's aser for them lesaper and it's aser for them lechabes. Oval chay bekriya. An oval has the right kriya. The kamalu rachmanu of bnei Aharon, because the Eibishter told the bnei Aharon. What did he say? Uvigdechem loisif raimu. Don't tear your clothing. Now they were available, like we said earlier. Mechlal the kuliyamu mechayvi. You see, ordinarily an oval does have to tear his clothing. Menudim adab bekriya. What about a menudim? Does he have to rise kriya teiku? Mitzayru mal bekriya. What about a mitzayru tashma? Begod of you furumim shiyu mikuram. It's a pasuk in the Torah. Begod of you furumim that the mitzayru's clothing had to be torn. Shema mina. So when you visualize the Mitzayra, he's Reis Kriya, right? It's a very serious maimid being a Mitzayra. And it could last for a very, very long time. Achenir pa'anega for a Mitzayra mukhla. But this is one of the things. Begod of you, frumim, he looked like an Avel. He was in a state of Kriya. Avel chai b'kriya samita. An Avel had to take his bed and flip it upside down. Says the Gemara, what's the makar to this? The Tani Bar Kapar. Bar Kapar said over the following braisa. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, D'mus diyukni nasati behem. He says, I gave a person a d'mus diyukni. Rashi, b'tzelem alekim as hasa adam. A person was created with tzelem alekim. That's d'mus diyukni of HaKadosh Baruch. And the Yidden did Averos, and because they did Averos, I was forced to flip over the Tzal Malikim. Meaning, if man wouldn't sin, man wouldn't die. So really, Misa is a sign of the frailties of people. Adam Arishan ate from Deitz Hadas, that was the first sin ever committed, and that's when Misa descended onto the world, like the Pasuk says in Parashas Bereishis. So d'mus diyukni nasati behem, ubevay neisem hafachtiyo, which is symbolized in Misa, and therefore kafu mitaseim aleo. So to symbolize that, what we do is, the Avel is told to turn his bed upside down. That's the makar to that. Menudim mitzarim ma'am b'kfiyas hamita, does a menudim mitzarim have to do the same thing? The Gemara says, teiku, Avel asa basiyas malachot, Avel's not allowed to work. Mitachsev, because the Pasuk says, v'hafachti Chagechem le'evel. The pasuk says that Yontif is going to turn into mourning, and we learn from it. Ma chag asa b'malacha, just like Yontif is asa b'malacha, av avol asa b'malacha. So to an avol is not allowed to do malacha. What does avelus have to do with Yontif? You would think they're complete opposites. Yontif's asa b'malacha, so avelus is asa b'malacha. So this brings to mind a related raid by which we spoke about. Karol ay moye, Tisha B'Av is called moye, it's called Yontif, Lishmar Bachurai, we'll post it as a related. Menuda ma'al basis melacha. Is a menuda allowed to do work? So an oval's not allowed to do work. What about a menuda? Amrav Yosef Tashma, Tisha Amru, Asa basis melacha, when they said that during a tiny sibur, one's not allowed to do malach. Le'yamru ela bayoyim, only during the day. Avo b'layla muter v'chena tamoitza b'menuda u'be'ovel. So again, what does the Braisa say? We're dealing with a tiny sibur because of something that hasn't rained. So asubasi is malach. Only during the day, and night it's mutter. Okay. And the same is true for a menuda and a novel. It sounds for sure like a menuda and a novel, and not allowed to do malacha. And they too, only during the day, not at night. So the Gemara says, my lava kulu, when we say the words v'chena tamoitza b'menuda novel, isn't it referring back to everything mentioned earlier, including isa malacha, that this is a raya that a menuda is not allowed to do malacha? The Gemara says, loy, asha ara. It's not referring to everything else. It's referring to some of the other things that are mentioned in that braisa that were negeya by the taina sibur. But not this particular halacha related to isa malacha. Tashma, I'll bring you another raya. Menuda shayna v'shayna loy. Menuda's allowed to learn Torah. Allowed to teach him Torah. Niskar, he's allowed to work for someone. V'niskar and loy, people allowed to work for him. It's pretty straightforward. Shmame, now you see, Menuda's allowed to work. Mitzayru mal basias malacha. Is a mitzayru allowed to do work? Teku. Oval asa berchitza. An oval's not allowed to wash his body. How do you know that? Tchsev, because the pasuk says va'al tasuchi shemen. The end of the pasuk is va'yis ko'isha zeh yamim rabim misabelas almeis urechitza b'chal sicha. Rechitza is included in sicha. So you see that that woman in that pasuk, during her state of avelos, she wasn't allowed to smear herself with oil. Rechitza is included in sicha. That means rechitza is asr as well. Menuda mal berechitza. What about a menuda? Amrav Yosef tashmak. Kisha amru asr berechitza li'amru ala kol gufay. Avapanav yad v'ragla mutter. When Chazal said that during the tainas sibra there's an isra rechitza, they were referring to kol gufay. But panav yad v'ragla is Mutter, and here's the punchline. V'chena tamoitza b'menuda u'ba'aval. So the Gemara says, my lava kulu. When we say v'chena, the same is true for menuda and aval, is referring to everything, meaning all the things mentioned in the Braisa, including issa rechitza. The Gemara says, lai, ashar. Maybe it's referring to the other things mentioned in that Braisa. Lav dafk, it's referring to rechitza. Mitzayra ma'ar berechitza, kena mitzayra beid teiku. Aval asa b'nil sa sandal. And aval's not allowed to wear shoes. But the Kavali Rachman of Yechesko, Hashem told Yechesko, Hashem told Yechezkel while he was mourning his wife, don't act like a novel, wear shoes. See that ordinarily a person would not be allowed to wear shoes. Someone that's a nidor, is he allowed to wear shoes? When they said that during the time of Sibur, this is an nidor sasando, they meant only in the city. But if you're outside of the city, it's mutter. When you leave onto the road, you leave the city, put on the shoes, you come back into the city, you take them off. Again, and the same is true for menuda and novel. Oh, my lava kulu, isn't that referring back to everything mentioned earlier, included in which is what we just said, wearing shoes? Lo, yeah, shara, it's referring to everything else. Mitzayra, mal, benil, sazandal. Can a mitzayra wear shoes? Take who? We don't know. Oval, ase, betashmish, amita. An oval is ase, betashmish, amita. Dichsev, because the pasuk says, and this pasuk is in Perek Shmuel Beis, and the context is that after David HaMelech married Bathsheba, so immediately they had a child, and that child died. Then they had another child. That child grew up to be Shlomo HaMelech. But first they had a child. The child died. And the pasuk says, "Vayinachim David es Bathsheba ishtoi," that David mourned this child that he lost. Vayavoy elea. And then afterwards he was born Bathsheba. Michlal demeikar aser. So you see that during the avelos it was aser. It was Vayinachim David after the nechama, after the 7 days of Amokim Yenachim, after the avelos. That's when it was Vayavoy elea.
What about a menuda? I'm Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef said, "Tashma, bring you a right." Kol oisim shana shayis shalom midbar. For years that the Yidden were in the midbar, menudin hayu. They were all menudin. That's a chazal. The Yidden were in a state of nidui during the 40 years in the midbar, and yet the shimshu mitayseim. The Yidden were meshamish mitayseim when they were in the midbar. They had children, so you see clearly that a menuda is mutar b'tashma shamita. So who said this? Rav Yosef. So Amalei Abaya. So Abaya told him, "V'dilma menuda l'shamayim shani the kill." No, you bring me a raya from the nidoy in the midbar. They were menudah l'shamayim. Maybe that's more kuladig. Maybe that's why they were mutar v'tashma shamita. But someone that's menudah tebezin, not. So the Gemara says, kill? What? V'amrit chomer. The entire daf, we keep on saying that a menudah l'shamayim is more chomer than a menudah l'bezin. How could you all of a sudden now at the end of the daf tell me it's the opposite? So the Gemara says, what Abaye meant to tell Rabbi Yosef was fuki mesafkele. Meaning, I'm not sure which is more chomer, which one's more kal. And therefore, you can never shtel tzu the two. You can't ever bring a raya from menudah l'shamayim, from menudah Adam, or vice versa. Meaning, zil hacha kamatchile, if you try to bring a raya this way, I'll knock it out. Zil hacha kamatchile, and if you try to bring a raya that way, I'll knock it out. This feels like it really encapsulates the relationship between Abaye and Rabbi Yosef. Zil hacha kamatchile, vizil hacha kamatchile. But either way, that's when Abaye told Rabbi Yosef. All I'm saying is that they're not the same, and because they're not the same, you can't necessarily learn one from the other. Mitzayra ma'a b'tashma shamita. What about a mitzayra? Mutter asa b'tashma shamita. Tashma the tanya b'lumim to the b'ris of Yoshav michutz la'ahaloi. So he has to be chutz me'ah la'ahaloi. She hate k'menuda ka'avol. It means that the mitzayra has to be like a menuda and an avol. And here's the point. For asir b'tashma shamita. Because v'ein aloi ela ishtoi. Aloi means ishtoi. Shenem aleichem mar lehem shuv lechem lo'ay aleichem. Shem told you after Har Sinai, right? Before Har Sinai, there were days of prisha. But after Har Sinai, shuv lechem lo'ay aleichem. It meant heter tashmish. So you see, ahaloi means tashmish. So when we say that the mitzayra is v'yasham michutz la'ahaloi, what it means is asir b'tashma shamita. Shmamina, very clear that a mitzayra is asir b'tashma Shamita, says the Gemara, "V'nifsha nami l'menuda." Why do we bring a raya from here that a menuda is also aser b'tashma shamita? Again, what did the Brisa say? V'yasha michutz la'aloi sheyehake menuda uka'avil v'aser b'tashma shamita. Oh, isn't that pretty clear? So the Gemara says, "No, Amar Rav Huna, Breider Rav Pinchas, Mishmei Rav Yosef, Mik Tani she aser." No, what it says is sheyehake menuda uka'avil. The miliachronaisa, one thing, like we said earlier, the aser nami b'tashma shamita. That's another thing. Meaning, the way you read the brayse is not that the mitzayra is like a menuda and an avil. She aser b'tashma. That is aser b'tashma shamita. But rather, what the brayse is saying is shehei kanudam and avil. That's one thing. Additionally, the aser b'tashma shamita. That's the second thing. Finally, the avil einoi mishalech karmanoisam. An avil is not let us send the carbon. Meaning, even al yidei shliach, he cannot send if he's chayiv carbon. He has to wait until after his avails. The Tanya, what's the makar to this abraisa? Reb Shimon Oimer, Reb Shimon Ayichai said shlamim. The pasuk describes the carbon shlamim. Vim zevach shlamim karbane. So what does shlamim mean? Bizman shehu shalem. When a person is shalem, he's shalem bedaitai. It's only then that a person is able to bring a carbon. V'loy bizman shehu oinei. But when a person is an oinei, he's not shalem bedaitai. It's not shlamim. He can't bring a shlamim. He can't bring any carbon. So an avil is not allowed to bring a carbon. Says the Gemara, menuda ma'al shishal carbon oisav. What about a menuda? Yeah, carbon, no carbon. I'm Rav Yosef Tashma. Kol oisav shanu shal yisrael v'midah. The 40 years either were in the midbar. Menudin hayu. They were all menudin. That's the Chazal. And we know v'shilchu carbon oisayim. Yet they sent their carbon. So what do you see? That someone that's a menuda can't send the carbon. I'm like, Abaya. So again, Abaya told Rav Yosef, v'dilma, Menuda l'shamayim shani. Maybe this is a menuda l'shamayim, and maybe a menuda l'shamayim is more kill, and therefore they were able to bring karbanos because they were only menuda l'shamayim. But that's not a raya to someone that's menuda l'bezdin. But the Gemara says kill. What, a menuda l'shamayim is more kill? V'amrit chomer. I thought earlier in the daf we said chomer. The Gemara says what it said a moment ago. No, sfukim esafkilei. Abaye told Rav Yosef, I'm not sure. I don't know if it's more chomer or less chomer. I can argue it both ways. Therefore, umatchilei. Either way, you're going to try to bring a raya. I'm going to push it off. And finally, Mitzayra Ma'ushe Yishal Karbon Oysel. Could a Mitzayra send the carbon or not? So Mitzayra can't enter Yerushalayim, let alone the Makom HaMikdash. But the question is, could he send a shliach to bring a carbon on his behalf? So the Gemara says, Tashma, I'll bring you a raya from a braisa. The Tanya, the braisa says, V'achrei toharosoy shivas yomim, yisperulai. Then the pasuk says, V'yoyim boy el ha-kodesh, el ha-chotzer ha-pnimis, l'shoris ba-kodesh yakriv chatosay. So it sounds like we have a kohen. Certainly what it sounds like. And we're putting him on hold. After counting 7 days, then, now all of a sudden you can start doing avodah again. So Chazal darshan like this. The first part of the pasuk is referring to a person that's tummy Tumas Meis. That this person has to wait Shivas Yomim, 7 days. Tumas Meis takes 7 days. You need from the Eifah the Parah Aduma, who Yishat the boy, B'yayim HaShlishi, B'yayim HaShvi. After 7 days, Yatar, now you can come in and you can resume doing the avoid. Yisperuloi, Chazal said, is referring to another type of tamei for 7 days. Elu shivas yimei sfiroi. It's referring to a mitzayir that has to count 7 days. Uvyoim boi, ala kodesh, ala chotzer, apnimis, lasharis, pa kodesh, yakriv chatosoi, zu asiris ha'efesh loi divi Rabbi Yehuda. It's referring to the kohen, or the kohen gadol, who every day had to bring an asiris ha'efa, he had to bring the michas chavitin. So now that he's able to come and he's able to resume doing his avoida, he'll be able to bring his carbon, divi Rabbi Yehuda, azoi helped Rabbi Yehuda. So where do you see from Rabbi Yehuda? That during the 7 days of Tumas Meis, but also during the 7 days of Tumas Mitzayra, a kohen, even a kohen gadol, wasn't allowed to do the avodah. Rav Shimon Oimer, Rav Shimon darshins the pasuk differently. Rav Shimon says bevoy yakriv bisman sheroy labia roy lakrava, that when a person's roy to enter the azara, that's when he's able to bring a carbon. Bisman she any roy labia any roy lakrava, but if he's not able to enter the azara, he's not able to bring a carbon. Rav Shimon says the same drasha from the same pasuk, he just formulates it differently. Not from the achrei tarasei shivas yamim, Thomas Mace, Yisperu loy Thomas Mitzayra, and you see from here only then could he enter. He learned, he pashed had a drasha. Ubiyoyim boy el hakodesh el hachatzer l'shoris b'hakodesh yakriv chatasai. We equate boyoy entering and yakriv being makriv. Someone that's able to enter is able to be makriv. But someone that's not able to enter, a person like that would not be able to be makriv. So as it relates to raid, we're going to go back, Be'ezus Hashem, to the raid of yesterday's daf. And that is the tshuva from the Noida B'Yehuda as it relates to shaving a chalamite. So let's recap part one and then part two. So the first sugya of Perek Ve'ilu Megalchen discusses an Issed Rabbanon, which states that one is not allowed to cut his hair on chalamite. And cut his hair means you're not allowed to take a haircut, you're not allowed to trim your beard, you're not allowed to shave. It's also for a person to be megaleach on chalamite. And the Gemara gave a reason. It's kidei shelo yichnesu leregel kishehem menuvalim. Because Chazal so badly wanted that a person should look his finest on yontif, that Chazal was concerned that if a person is going to know that he has the ability to cut his hair on chalamite, he's going to be less pressured to do so before yontif. And what may happen is he may enter yontif not having groomed himself properly, and we don't want a person to enter yontif kishehem menuvalim. So for that reason, Chazal, with an unprecedented takana, said that counterintuitively, it's aser for a person to groom himself on chalamoid. It's aser for a person to be megaleach on chalamoid. Why? Kidei shelo yichnesu leregel kishehen menuvalin. The Torah in Simin Tav Kuf Lamed Aleph brings b'shem Rabbeinu Tam. The Rabbeinu Tam said that if you understand the reason that Chazal will go, is it that a person is not being megaleach and chalamayim, I want to say a pashat chiddush la'alacha. And that is, said Rabbeinu Tam, the whole reason Chazal were worried that it should be aser to be megaleach and chalamayim is kidei shelo yichnesu leregel kishehem menuvalim. So he said, if that's the case, what would be if somebody did take care of himself before yontif? Erev yontif, he took a haircut. Erev yontif, he trimmed his hair. Every yontif, he shaved. A person like that now entered yontif in the proper state. So l'chura, for someone like this, the Tam of the Gemara doesn't really apply. And therefore, said Rabbeinu Tam, someone like that, I believe, would be able to be megaleach on chalamite. The Torah brings Rabbeinu Tam. He says, to me, it's very, very kosher, Rabbeinu Tam. And really, for a few reasons. The most notable reason is, the Mishnah mentions ve'ilu megalchem b'mayin, and the Mishnah never mentioned someone that was megaleach, erev yontif. So it sounds like, habom b'din asayam, and if somebody is b'mi beis hashivya, but it doesn't say if somebody cut his hair erev yontif, he'd be able to cut his hair on chalamoid. So pasha from the fact that the Mishnah didn't mention Rabbeinu Tam's chiddush, it's very not mashma like Rabbeinu Tam said the Torah. And it's for that reason Rabbeinu Tam, other reasons as well, is doicha the chiddush of Rabbeinu Tam. Not just that, the mechaber in Simon Tafka Flamed Alves of Cotton Bakes categorically dismisses Rabbeinu Tam. The Mechaber says that it's also for a person to be Megalech and Chalamoit, v'afilu im gilach b'erev yontif. And even if someone was Megalech and Erev yontif, it's going to be Aser. The Ramah has no comment, not the Magen Avram, not the Taz. None of the Noitz Kalim argue. All the Poiskim were masking to ish echad b'leiv echad, that even though Rabbeinu Tam, who is Gadol Koichai Bahira, said a very big chiddush, but at the end of the day, as it relates to Halacha L'Maisa, nobody paskins like this chiddush of Rabbeinu Tam. Stating that, Rabbi Cheska Landau, Hagoyin HaGadol, in Shailos HaTshuvos Noida B'Yehuda, in Eir HaChayim, Madura Kama, Simen Yud Gimel, he was asked by some of the locals in Prague, who were finding it very, very difficult to go through an entire Chalamayit without cutting and trimming, or maybe shaving their beard. And they came to the Groisa Paisik, their Rebbe, the Noida B'Yehuda, and they wanted a kula. So the Noida B'Yehuda said that he felt that being the Rabbeinu Tam really was Paiseach, a tremendous Pesach to be Mekel. He feels an obligation to sit down and to explore the opinion of Rabbeinu Tam and the kashas that the Torah and the Paiskim asked him, Rabbeinu Tam, to see if he could be Miyashiv Divri Rabbeinu Tam. And to make a long story short, yesterday we discussed the long story, now the short one. The Noida Behuda was Miyashiv Rabbeinu Tam, but with a tremendous caveat. He said a chiddush. He said, I think the Paiskim misunderstood Rabbeinu Tam. Everyone thought Rabbeinu Tam was saying that if somebody was Megalech Erev Yontif, so now it's Mutta to be Megalech Chol Moed. He says, I don't think Rabbeinu Tam ever meant that. I think all Rabbeinu Tam meant to say was that if somebody was Megalech and Erev Yontif, then it would be Mutter to be Megalech Chol Moed Al Yidei Oni She'ein Loi Ma Yoicha. And he says, did the Noida Behuda, that really all malachas that you're not allowed to do on Chol HaMoed, as we discussed in the first two prakam of Masechtas Maikon, Chazal said, I don't know why this would be any different. Meaning it's true that in theory there's a problem with going Abim Megalech on Chol HaMoed, but I think it would be mutter. Narvas, there's another issue, which is so if the person shaved on Erev Yontif, so you don't have that problem. Bottom line is, Noida Behuda's chiddush was that all Rabbi Tam ever meant was al yidei oni she'ein lo mayoichal. And then the Noida Behuda said that if that's the case, I don't know if the Poiskim ever really argued with Rabbeinu Tam. It's true, they argued with their Rabbeinu Tam. But he says, I don't know if they ever argued with my Rabbeinu Tam. And had they accepted that Rabbeinu Tam meant what I said, I have a feeling, said the Noida Behuda, the Poiskim would have been maskim. So he said, number one, ichab Rabbeinu Tam. Number two, the way I understand Rabbeinu Tam and the way I'm implementing it lamaisa, I don't even know if there's a machloikis. So the Noida Behuda said, "L'chein ner lafianias daiti shal kaponim in gilach erev regel." If somebody did cut his hair in erev yontif, shekvar yesh lanu amud shal barzel lismoich. Who is that? Rabbeinu Tam. Va'av shechok kol apoyskim kulam mikol makam aydei poyel she'in le mayoichel ner lanias daiti lahater. Ubefrat, he says specifically, befrat l'mishmahay lechubay itzal asarim v'duchsim. Certainly, someone that's rogo to be amongst people that are dignitary. Aristocrats, choshev people, the ragel asaper b'chaleis, and he's a person that is accustomed. He shaves every day. Shetzar gadol hu loy begufa the gadol ser. It's very painful. The gam lelagul the kalis bein asarim, and also it could be humiliating for him. Shemutal ish kozet lismeichal heter. Now, a person like this has a right lekatchila to be samech on this heter. And we mentioned that this tshuva, although it was written by the gadol hadar and the gadol hadoyros, but afal pikin, it made a tremendous tumult. And really, there was an incredible amount of backlash that the Noida Behuda received for this tshuva that he wrote. And the reason was really twofold. Right? Just to understand why the world of Torah reacted the way it did. Number one, because it's a halach and shulchan aruch. Simin tafkuf lamed alefs of cut and bays. There's not a lot of gray area. The shulchan aruch paskins categorically. Rochel bitcha aktana. Says the Shulchan Aruch that a person that ain megalchem emoyed afilu imgilech kodem amoyed. It's clear. Ain megalchem emoyed afilu imgilech kodem amoyed. So at the end of the day, the thought was is that this halacha and this psak Noid Behuda is going to connect the halacha and Shulchan Aruch. Now, what would the Noid Behuda tell you? He would say, no, I said al yidei oni shein lemayoichal. There's a lot of things that are also in chol hamoed. But there's a sif katan called oni shein lemayoichal, and I'm only being matured al yidei oni shein lemayoichal. But besides, and this was the bigger issue, and that is minig Yisrael Torah, and the minig was throughout the generation, no one ever heard of such a kula. Everyone knew, Yidden understood that ein megalchem amoed. The eilu megalchem, that's a perik in Chas, it talks about a few exceptions to the rule. But other than that, there were never, ever, ever ways for a person to really circumvent this. And Taste the Noida Behuda, Hagam Shekoyche Gadol Bayra, had a right to go ahead and issue such a heter. We mentioned yesterday Lashoyne Azov of the Chida in the Sefer Yosef Oimetz, when he goes through, literally takes you through the entire globe, literally from sea to shining sea, and he talks about all the different kehilas from the Sfardish communities to the Ashkenazi communities, they all went and really were moicha very, very strongly kineged the Noida Behuda. So here's part two. Shailas HaTshuvas Noida Behuda Madura Kama was printed, just to have a little bit of historical context, in the year 1776. So while the Patriots were fighting for their independence, if you ever wanted to know what was going on in the Olam HaTorah, Noida Behuda in Prague had just released, he had just published his magnum opus, Madura Kama of Shailas HaTshuvas Noida Behuda. 36 years later, in the year 1811, the Noida Behuda's son, Rav Shmuel Landau, printed Noida Behuda, Madura Tinyan.
And in Madura Tinyana, there were three tshuvas that were written by the Noida Behuda himself, where the Noida Behuda was responding to different people that had wrote him letters. How you talking? You have a right to go ahead. And even though you're being Samech and Rabbeinu Tam, but you're going connected to Tola Poiskim, and this is not something that really you have a right to do. So what were these three tshuvas? Now, first of all, if you want to look them up inside, it's Tshuva Tzadik Tes, Tshuva Kuf, and Tshuva Kuf Aleph. Now, Tzadik Tes and Kuf were both written to the same Shoyl. They were written to someone that the Noida Yehuda addresses as his Mechutin, Rab Lemel Segal. Rab Lemel Segal, he was the Av Bezdin in Eisenstadt. Rab Lemel Segal, he was the first of the two Shoyls that the Noida Yehuda responded to. And basically, he sends him a letter. We don't see the letter, but it's clear from the way the Noida Yehuda responds that, number one, that the Shoyl didn't fully appreciate the Noida Yehuda's psak. And he told him again, I have to reiterate, in my mind, and this is so important to understanding the Noida Yehuda's chiddush, Noida Yehuda never thought he was going to connect the Paiskin. Because Noida Yehuda said that although everyone was doich Rabbeinu Tam, but they were doich Rabbeinu Tam because they thought Rabbeinu Tam was matter b'chol oifen. But said the Noida Yehuda, I'm learning Rabbeinu Tam that he was only matter al yidei oni she'en l'mayoichal, and I never heard one Paisik say that it's aser al yidei oni she'en l'mayoichal. So I think we're just arguing in semantics what Rabbeinu Tam meant, but at the end of the day, as it relates to the halacha l'maisa, I think everybody would agree that al yidei oni she'en l'mayoichal, it's going to be okay. But it's clear that the shoyl wasn't just being mefakfik on the psak of Rabbeinu of the Noida Yehuda. He was being mefakfik on how you talking Noida Yehuda, how you talking, you have a right to do something like this. Why would you come at and would you and why would you issue such a kula? So Yehuda wrote back to him, Aval Ahuvi. He says, I want you to appreciate Hoyo v'dofak al pischi, being that you knocked on my door. So I'm going to answer. I'm going to tell you the truth. Vizman Rav Hoyisi Paseach al Shtei Seifim in Lefarsim Dvarim Eil Baseir for Allah. Says, I have to tell you, there was a very, very long time that I was Paseach al Shnei Seifim. I was dancing of Tzvei Chasinas. I was back and forth. I was undecided. I was grappling. I was mamish, not sure what the right thing to do was. V'agid Lai Gufa De Uvdom. And let me explain to you. He says, As Shonim Rabbis, Kma Yud Beis Oites Vav Shonim. Maybe there's a Tois. But he says, I don't know, 12 or 15 years ago, Nishalti Din Zeh Halacha L'maisa. I was asked this question. So the original time I was asked this question, there was someone who really had a shave on Cholamay. This was very, very important. I sat down and I wrote a tshuva for myself. I wrote a tshuva, the tshuva that you read in my Noida Yehuda. I wrote this tshuva. But I didn't tell the tshuva to the person that asked me the shiloh. I acted ki'ilu hu ay rasha. I told him it's mutter, but I made believe it was like a hirasha. I didn't tell him the emes. Histarti atam. I was a little deceptive. I didn't want him to know. V'amarti loy, and I told him, Masha hitarti l'cha, hoyoli tam, sho yeshayich rak bepamo'i. Mamish told it to him. He says, this is like a one-time matter. Don't spread it. Don't apply it to anything else. V'loy la'asin v'halamti ahetim imenu. V'omnam tami hoyo. But I says, I want you to understand why. He said, not because I was afraid, oh, if I'm going to give them this hat there, they're going to run with other keirim. I didn't have any of these gross macro cheshbonos. But the reason I did this was, he said, because the people in my kehila, and really in so many kehilas at that time, they were being very, very nichshol in the issue of hashchasa zakein betar. They were shaving, but they were shaving with razors. You know, we take for granted that today you can use an electric shaver that doesn't get involved in these issues. But once upon a time, it was very, very chomer and very, very serious. It was very difficult for a person to shave. So the easiest, most convenient way for a person to shave was to shave with a razor. And shaving with a razor is a person's over the chamisha lavin. So I figured like this. I said, I hold it's mutter to shave a chalamai. I have my tshuva tucked away, literally, that I think it's you could be soymech Rabbeinu Tam. But no one knows about it. So what, I'm going to go tell them that? Like this the whole year, they're shaving with razors. And Rachmada Litzlan, they're being over chamish halav and b'chol yoyim. At least 2 weeks a year, they put down the shaver. So I was so excited that they don't shave chol amayim. So what am I going to do? I'm going to go ahead and tell them about it, and now I'm going to cause them? It doesn't make any sense. So he says like this, before I decided to print the Noida Yehuda, meaning around the time I was working on it, so I started gathering all my tshuvas. So Gomarti Balibi, he said, I made up my mind, Lahalam tshuvazu. I'm going to hide this tshuva, v'shaloi lahatfisa. I'm not printing it, mitam hana. Because I don't want anyone to know. I don't need people shaving with razors. But then I thought about it a little bit more. Ro'isi belibi, I saw in my heart. Precisely because the dar is so porous in this area of razors, it's actually better to be mefarsim. What shaykhis? Because they're nichshol and razors, I should be mefarsim. So said the Nayyid Behuda, Vatam comes believe the time, the reason is hidden. I'm not telling you. In Yafzer, they said, if you're going to push me, I'm not going to budge. So I'm not telling you. I'm not telling you why. But originally, my thought was, for sure, don't say. Why? Because let people not shave. You'll put down your razors, chachik, for a week. Or 2 weeks a year. But then I realized, Pumfake is just the opposite. Why? I'm not telling you. And he said like this, Vani Shoikel Adova Bedaiti. He says, I was thinking about this. Kimai Mirab Yoichim and Zakai. These words are posh. Every word is a diamond. He said, like Mamish, the words of Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, who said in Bava Basra, Peites Amid Beis, Oilim Oimar, Oilim Loy Oimar. Where Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai already was debating if he should talk about all the different ways that Ramayim used to cheat people. So he said, Oilim Agrav, I'm going to say, all the Chevra are going to start taking notes, and now they're going to know how to do business. And he said, if I'm not going to say, oh, people say the rabbis, they don't know anything. We can fool them. So he said, Oilim Oimar, Oilim Oimar. Vishom Echon Mea Kadmoinim Loy, all the Belibay Dover Zeh. And he said, and I know no one ever had this einfall that I had is v'tzorich ani gamkin lahalim mashah limuhen, and therefore I'm not talking about it. Aval al koponim, I want you to know hechrati shepirsam aheta b'cholamoid yesh boi mitzvah rabba, that to write this tshuva was a mitzvah rabba v'geder u'mishmeres l'toyer l'pritzei ador, and it's actually a tremendous geder and a mishmeres v'day bozeh, and I'm not talking anymore. Kikvi amark faramarti, I already told you im yavtzer, if you're gonna push me lo yoyel segei tachgunish helfen. That's what Nayyid Behuda wrote him. So Nayyid Behuda started talking to more mysterious. He said, I understand you're upset how I could say something like this, and you know, worried about all these cheshbonos and slippery slopes and things. He said, I thought through all this, and I'm telling you now, the katchila, I wasn't even going to include it. I was back and forth while I'm printing tshuvas. By the way, one thing is clear. You see that when the Nayyid Behuda printed tshuvas, Nayyid Behuda, we didn't get every tshuva, right? That's clear, and it's true for all the gedolim, right? There were many tshuvas that they felt were not meant for public consumption. But bottom line, Nayyid Behuda said that this was a tshuva. I was on the fence. I was back and forth. And first, it was postured to me that I should not include it, and then I came around, but I'm not telling you why. Then he writes a whole tshuva. He goes into the lumdus of Rabbeinu Tam, and here's the final analysis. He says, says, I hope I answered all your questions. He said, just like when I wrote my first tshuva in Madura Kama, he said, I was so stark, this is what I felt. I feel the same way now. With the same koich dehetero, and I'm not telling you anything else. This is where I'm leaving it. Now, it seems the mechutin that Rabbi Lemuel Segal wrote back to the Nayyid Behuda, and he didn't stop. He was pushing him again. He was still not happy with this tshuva from the Nayyid Behuda. And he was pushing him, and he was trying to get the reason. So listen to the opening lines. This is mamish. It's not shaykh. I think this is typical for many arguments that people have. He said, "This is you're asking me the shayla again. I didn't see any chiddush in this next tshuva. You're basically chazering over the first tshuva. And if I'm going to do the same thing, we're just going to go in circles." Behuda said, I'm stopping it right now. We're just going, you're chazering it over. So I'm going to chazer over, you're going to chazer over. He said, what are we going to do? We're going to just keep on writing letters to each other. We both have lives to live. We both have shailas to answer. So Behuda writes them very clearly. He said, we're pasha going in circles over here. So he said, the chomashe shafti barishoina ledaiti yesh boy die. No, the malasi any writes to the kabbal. I said, if you want to be makabu, I wrote in my first tshuva, ma'asalai. What could I do? I said, you know, what should I tell you? I'm not looking to convince you, he said. And if this is something that you're not masking to, the one thing the Nayyid Behuda did say is that Rabbi Lemuel Segal told the Nayyid Behuda that how do you have a right to write a tshuva and then tell me that you have all these secretive, mysterious reasons that you wrote it and you're not being megala? You have no right to do that. You have to put the tshuva out there for everybody to know. So Nayyid Behuda wrote back to me, said, you didn't fashtay what I said. I told you my heter. My heter was Rabbeinu Tam. What I'm not telling you is why I decided to write the tshuva. I mean, I had it not to write the tshuva. I changed my mind. I said I am writing the tshuva. Why? I'm chuyv to tell you that.
I'm a chuyv to, and for the psak, I'm telling you the psak. He said, number one, I wrote a tshuva in Eir Chaim, Madura Kam, Simon Yud Gimel. This is Mamash what he writes. He said, by the way, to you, I already wrote another tshuva. So I gave you the longer version of it. I'm telling you everything you want to know. You're pumped not maskim, saying you don't have to be maskim. But he said, I'm not hiding. What am I hiding? I'm just hiding my cheshbon. I have to tell you my cheshbon, why I put it inside. That's not something I'm a shubit to do, and I'm not doing it. And that's what the night of Yudah told him. He said, again, you can ask me as much as you want. I'm not budging. I'm not going to tell you what my reason is. But there's one more tshuva. And this tshuva was written already to a different child. This tshuva was written to Hagoyin HaGadol, Rav Shaul Amsterdam. So who was Rav Shaul Amsterdam? A little bit of history. Rav Shaul Amsterdam's name was Rav Shaul Lobenbraun. He was the chief rabbi of Amsterdam, hence the name Rav Shaul Amsterdam. We spoke about him at the end of Masechtes Beya, in the beginning of Masechtes Rosh Hashanah. He was the mechaber of the Sefer Binyan Ariel. He was also a Ben Achar Ben Achar Ben. He was the great-grandson of the Rebbe Reb Heschel. He was also an enikel of the Chacham Tzvi. His mother's was the Chacham Tzvi's daughter. So Rav Shaul Amsterdam's Zayda was the Chacham Tzvi on his maternal side. Elte Zayda was Rav Heschel Mikrakow on his paternal side. He was also a Mekuriv of the Noid of Yehuda. His brother was a Yid by the name of Rav Tzvi Hirsch Berlin, who was the chief rabbi of Berlin, who was also the father, little Jewish geography, of Rav Shaul Berlin, who was the author of the Besamim Reish that we spoke about several times. But the bottom line is that the Binyan Ariel was considered one of the great Gaonim in Europe at the time. He was also very, very close to the Nevi of Yehuda. Again, he was the chief rabbi of Amsterdam. So in his Sefer Binyan Ariel, he has a tshuva. There's a few pieces on Masechtas Maikon. And one of the pieces is V'zeh Loshen HaTshuva Michvoid Achi HaGoyin Rav Tzvi Hirsch Berlin Sheheshev L'chad Mechavraya. And Bekitzer, it's a tshuva that's written keneged the tshuva of the Noid of Yehuda. And at the end of the tshuva that he brings from his brother, he says, "V'gam ani mitztarif, I'm also not maskim b'chlal to this tshuva the Noid of Yehuda wrote." So bottom line is that the two brothers, Rav Tzvi Hirsch and Rav Shaul, the chief rabbi of Berlin and the chief rabbi of Amsterdam, they both held very strongly, they both came out very, very strongly against the Noid of Yehuda. If you refer back to the Yosef Oymetz Lechida that we mentioned yesterday, when he talks about all the different people that spoke out, listen to this line. V'ulam, boy beperek ro'isi asher tekef azru chayel ha-go'inim Rav Shaul Berlin v'Rav Shaul Amsterdam v'cholku ala v'nitvas b'sefer binyan Ariel. It's printed in the Sefer binyan Ariel. So this is the rest of the story. It was these two brothers that both kraivim of the Noid of Yehuda, and they both came out very, very strong. So Rav Shaul Amsterdam, who was very close to Noid of Yehuda, he actually sent his bekari, he sent his brother's tshuva and his mashani gam ani mitztarif the Soichan, and he went ahead and he sent it to Noid of Yehuda, and he said, Noid of Yehuda, Rabbi Yecheskel Landau, how could you allow some people are starting to shave Chalamoy? How do you have a right to go ahead and do it? I think we should just stop for 1 second, just appreciate a little bit more. Why was everyone so up in arms? Right? We mentioned two things. We mentioned number one, it's Keneged Halacha Shulchan Aruch. We mentioned number two, because that's never the way it was. But number three is really the punchline. It's Ikka Chasim and Asayf a little bit. The real reason is because what was going on in the world at this time? Haskalah was starting, and there was such sensitivity to not veer a kutzah yud of any area in halacha. And that's really what was driving all this passion, right? We failed to mention that. But that's what's driving all this passion. There's such a sense of us. So Rav Shaul Amsterdam, Erev Tzvi Hirsch from Berlin, the Bey de Brude, Sheves Achim Kam Yocha, they go and they write a letter to the Noid of Yehuda, and they say, Oy vey, Noid of Yehuda, you see what's going on in the gas. Kukos vos tutzachta over here. And it's clear that they were very, very sharp. So the Noid of Yehuda writes back. He says, "Mechtove yator kibalti." He says, "I receive your pure letter. V'samachti b'shloime. I'm so happy to hear you're doing well." V'ashehir b'lisraim al hetar giluch b'chol amoid. He said, "You know, I see you're very upset and disappointed about my heter, about shaving a chol amoid." So he says, "I want you to know, hine ein darki loimer kiblu daiti." Says, "I've never asked anyone to agree with me. Like, I it doesn't bother me that you don't agree." V'kvar higdamti b'aktoma sifri. He says, if you read the haktoma to my sefer Noid of Yehuda, you'll know, sha'ani eini kedai l'smach alai kla. I don't think I'm worthy of being you being Saimech on me. Fani haitseisi chiburi la'ar. The reason I put out this sefer was sheyilamdu atalmidim. So my talmidim should have where to learn from. Ashazikani Hashem laharbitz toyer b'Yisrael. V'zei yoyseme arbaim shana le'pasku talmidim ibeisi. So Rabbi Yehuda said, for 40 years I've been teaching Torah to talmidim. V'nheime yilmudu boy daily. I put it out for my... It's not Shaykh. Noibidu wasn't being Rabin Shalkol Bnei Agoyla when he was writing these tshuvas. He was putting out, he put out a sefer for his Talmidim. He had Talmidim, so he wanted to give them some continuing education opportunities. So he put out Sfarim for the Talmidim. They were Rabbanim in different cities. So what are they going to do when they're Ashaylas? That's why he put out these Sfarim. Avalu G'dayli Adar. You think I wrote the sefer for G'dayli Adar? Chas v'shalom sha'avay lahayrois lahem v'chalechot k'day la'atzmoy. So he says this whole idea that you're not accepting what I'm saying. That's fine. So then he says like this. Umasha Kosav. This that you wrote, Sheikr Sfaras HaPoiske Ma'aisrim, Tolbi B'divrei HaGoyis, Maimini B'Shem Rabbeinu, Rabbein Rotenberg, Rabbein Shal Kol Yisrael. So one of the things that they, the Rishol Amsterdam told the Noid Behuda, he says, you realize you're coming with a Rabbeinu Tam? Do you realize all the Poiskim argued Rabbeinu Tam? And Uberoisham, the Maram in Rotenberg, that was Rabbein Shal Kol Yisrael. So listen what the Noid Behuda writes. He says, Hine mi lo yodea migdulas Maram. He says, who doesn't know? You have to tell me how great the Maram in Rotenberg was. What? I don't know. And he said, I would never argue on the Maram in Rotenberg. But you should know, if the Maram in Rotenberg was Rabin Shal Yisrael, Rabbeinu Tam, who Rav Shal Rabbanon Shal Yisrael. He says, it's true Maram in Rotenberg was Rabin Shal Yisrael, but I'm coming for Rabbeinu Tam, who is the Rav, not of Kol Yisrael, the Rabbanon from Kol Yisrael. For some reason, Nebuda felt he always had to repeat this. I was never being matter what Maram Rotenberg asked. They agree. There's no machloikis in halacha. Rak beferish bedivri Rabbeinu Tam. The machloikis is in what Rabbeinu Tam meant. Umemarav shoch im kavanas Rabbeinu Tam came. Matoy v'manoim. Then the emes hit Rabbeinu Tam v'chalutim. And Rabbeinu Tam means what they thought he meant. Nu al kaponim ani eni mati rak al yedei poyolani. Ve'in ani soise divrei shum echad me'agdoilim. Says a pasha, I don't know why everyone. That's not what I'm doing. Bottom line is that the Noid Behuda ends by saying again that I never expected anybody to accept my psak. I totally understand that you don't want to paskin this way for your talmidim and for your kehilas. I just paskin this way for my talmidim, the zehu, and this is where he left it. So the Noid Behuda wrote three tshuvas where he fa'enferred his position. He clearly doubled down. Like he said in Tshuva Tzadik Tes, he said very, very clearly, he said, Vanika koichi oz, ken koichi ata b'koich tehetera. He says he wasn't backing off, but he gave us a little bit of insight into really an internal struggle that the Noid Behuda was having himself. And he said that when he was being Masada, which tshuvas to include in his Shailos Tshuvas Noid Behuda, his Muschul Rishon was not to include this tshuva. Because he actually thought that's not a good idea. Why? So he had this cheshbon. His cheshbon was because people were being nechshol, they were shaving with razors, and he was afraid that if they're going to now also shave on Chol HaMoed, they're just going to use razors more often. So it had nothing to do with the Issa D'Rabbanan of shaving on Chol HaMoed. K'dei she'lo yichnusu l'regel k'sheim enuvolim. It was more related to shaving with razors, where a person's over chamish alav and chayim. But then he said, I realized that hoguf is a reason to go fakert. Why? I'm not telling you. And it doesn't matter how much you push me, I'm still not going to tell you. So what was the reason? What was this reason that the Noid Behuda didn't want to disclose? So the truth is, Noid Behuda never disclosed, and we don't know from the Ksav Kodesh of the Noid Behuda what it was. But there was a Goyen Olam, and one of the G'dayle Yisrael, a Kodesh Elyon, that wrote a truth on this topic as well. He brings the Noid Behuda, and he said that I think I know what the soid of the Noid of Yehuda was that he didn't want to be Megala. And that's the Helig Chsam Sofer. The Chsam Sofer in Erechayim, Tshuva Kuf Nun Dalet. He wrote a whole tshuva about Tiglachas B'chol HaMoed. And then he says, V'hinei, B'noid of Yehuda Tinyona Simen Tzadik Tes, Simen Kuf, Simen Kuf Aleph, Nira Shehirgish B'chushas Halachazu. The kasav shalei rotzel hatfisoi. He didn't want to print it. Rak mitama kamus. But he has a reason, a secret reason, and that's why he ended up being mater. So he says, Vani hoylech rachel umegalasoi. I'm a hoylech rachel, I'm going to be megalasoi. I'm going to tell you what the reason of the night. I know what it was, and I'm going to tell you what it was. So the Hilgach Sam Sofer said, he says, you want to know what the reason was? Is because the halacha is that in order for a person to be over the iser, shaving with a razor, the hair has to be a certain length. It has to be big enough to de lokuf roishoy leikroy. So you have to be able to chop on to the hair and be able to bend it backwards. But if the hair is so small that you can't take it to de lokuf roishoy leikroy, if that's the case, you're not going to be over the isin hashchos hazaken. So he says, I think the Noi de Behuda held that it was good that the oilam was shaving every day. Because by shaving every day, like this, they would never be going for the Isidai Reis of Ashchas Hazake. But if you're going to go ahead and now be Machmer and tell them, you're not allowed to shave on Cholomoy, we're really Kedai Rabbeinu Tam, Lismay Cholom Befrat Ayidei Oni Shein Le Mayoichav. So you know what's going to happen? The Isru Chag, everyone's going to take out their razors and they're going to shave and now they're going to be over the Isidai Reis. And that's what the Noi de Behuda meant. He said, my Muschel Rishon was that I'm going to tell them you could shave on Cholomoy. I'm being Moisif. But then he chapped, it's just the opposite. That by him going ahead and him telling them that they should shave on Chol HaMoed, he's actually preventing the Chamish Alav and Mechol Yoyim. And that's what the Noi Debida said. If you look at his lashon, he said, I chab me oisa atam gufa. It's me oisa atam gufa. That was the cheshbon. That was the cheshbon of the Noi Debida Yehuda. There's a go, and a go is Chassam Sofer from Rabbi Akiva Yosef Schlesinger. I go, you slave for Ivri. So he says, so what about Bein HaMetzarim? What about Svira? Ich weiß nicht. But I'll call upon him. But this was his cheshbon. This is what the Chassam Sofer said. This is what the Noi de Behuda was thinking. Noi de Behuda, for whatever reason, didn't want to be Megalit. But this is really what was going on. Incidentally, this is tremendous insight to what was a major issue at that time. And that is shaving with razors. In fact, there's other tshuvas from the Chassam Sofer. There's two tshuvas in Ebene Ezer Chelik Beis, where the Chassam Sofer says that he was once by Rav Meshulam Igra, the great guy in Rav Meshulam Igra. And Rav Meshulam Igra was saying that today everyone's a chashid. Everyone's a chashid. The sugi over there was Hamevi get me medina sayam tzarich sheyoyim rabbefanei nechtav ubefanei nechtam. And there was a shliach that brought a shliach like lacha with a gadisha. And Rabbi Shlomiger didn't want to trust this person that he was a good shliach. He said he's a chashid. And he said, why is he a chashid? He said everyone's chashudim. And the Chassam Sofer said that I remember Rabbi Shlomiger saying that the reason everyone was considered a chashid is because everybody was malva beribis. This is what the Chassam Sofer said. And the Chassam Sofer says to me, it's everyone's malva beribis. You have to be a gvir to be malva beribis. How's everybody malva beribis? And he says, even the ribis that people are sometimes malva, he said, usually it's derech iska, which is only ribis derabanan, doesn't necessarily knock you out. So he says, I don't think that's the reason. So the Chassam Sofer said, what's the reason? This is an Evena Ezer Chelik Beis, it's Simen Nun Aleph. He said that I think the real reason is Heyois Ateroiv HaMegulche Zokin Nechshodim Sheviutar. It's because today everybody shaves with razors, and because they shave with razors, that's why. So this was a major issue. People were shaving with razors, and the Chassam Sofer Lishintasa, who talks about that, and he says that's what was going on in Noi de Behuda's world. He said he knew people were shaving with razors. So on the first hand, Muschel Rishon was go ahead and just I'm going to tell you to shave on Chol HaMoed Vaita with a razor, and then I have just the opposite, because as long as you're sitting and you don't have kedei lock of roish and leikroy, you're not going to be over this if they rise it. If you're not going to be over this if they rise, so that's what the eitz is going to be. I and Shom and the Chassam Sofer. Lamaisa the Chassam Sofer at the end, he argues with the Noi de Behuda, and he says, even though I know the Noi de Behuda was, but at the same time, he says in a dar like this, he says, dvarim that are kashin kegidin, you have to see it inside. But he says that, you know, in a dar like this, with his pritze amenu and the maskilim was starting to do their thing, to be matter something, even if it's mutter, is so dangerous. You know, the Chassam Sofer doesn't invoke the words Chadash Asim and Atayr in that piece. But he makes one of his greatest cases that he ever made for Chadash Asim and Atayr, and it's Keneged a Tshuva that was written by none other than Ga'ana Ga'oinim the Noi de Behuda. But I was just thinking, in the final analysis, and maybe we'll do a part three, but in the final analysis, you know, the Noi de Behuda wrote a Tshuva. He wrote a Tshuva for something that he thought was mutter. And he was positive it was mutter. At the same time, he recognized it wasn't so pasha. And he says it was back and forth and forth and back. Ultimately, the tshuva was written and all the ge'onim of the entire world, no one saw the world the way the Nebuchadnezzar saw it. And the Nebuchadnezzar didn't back down.
He didn't back down. His Kuravim, his Mechutin, his cousins, everybody, G'dayli Yoylam, were writing letters to him. And he said, Mani Koichi Atika Koichi Yoz, but the Zelba Koich that Deira. He wasn't backing down. And he didn't even want to reveal his reason. He was so sensitive to what was going on. The Chassam Sofer, who we know the erech he had for the night of Yehuda. There are times where people asked Shailos to the Chassam Sofer, and the Chassam Sofer said, Kfar Hoyrezakin. He said, Nabi, you're already paskin. What are you asking me for? In Tshuvas. He said, Kfar Hoyrezakin. There's nothing for me to talk about anymore. We know the erech he had. But over here, he wasn't masking to the night of Yehuda. Over here, he came out with a tkifas. So my hergish was this, that the night of Yehuda, in one of the Tshuvas where he fights back, so he said, he told his cousin, Rab Lemuel Segel, his mechutin, so he told him, I feel like Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai in Bava Basra, that Salik Aleph, who said, Oilim Oimar, Oilim Loy Oimar. What came to mind is another memory that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said, Anvesenusai Shrab Scharya ben Afkilus is what was Machrib the Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara Gittin has the Girsa, it's Rabbi Yochanan, but in Taiseft, it's not Rabbi Yochanan, it's Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said, Anvesenusai Shrab Scharya ben Afkilus was Machrib the Beis HaMikdash. And we've mentioned so many times over the years that Rabbi Moshe Feinstein in his Tshuva, and this is in Yerudea Kuf Aleph. I always remember because it's Yerideo 101, and this is Ramosha 101, where he defends the way he went about Paskini Shailas, and even though sometimes he said things that were not popular, and sometimes Afilu Kineged is lost in his Mixus Rishayanim, but Alpha Piki Ramosha felt what he had to do, and he said, every Rav needs to do that. And he says, Anvesenusay Rabschaya, Rabschaya ben Afkilo says, Anova, his humility was what caused him to do what? It's what caused Churban Beis HaMikdash, because a poisik is not allowed to be an onov. He has to do what he thinks is right. And like Rabbi Schaya ben Afkilo, like Rabbi Yechim ben Zakkai, who said, and like Rabbi Moshe said it in Yerideya 101, the Noit Behud himself, and Arachayim Tinyona 101, said the same exact thing. And he said, and you can't go with the Derech Hanivos. And he went and he wrote a tshuva, despite the fact that he thought it wasn't popular. And what came to mind was another Rabbi Yechim ben Zakkai. Rabbi Yechim ben Zakkai, who has an audience with the Kesa Shalroimi, and he tells him, grant me three wishes, and I'll give it to you. And he obtained the Yavne v'Chachamel, and I want you to save the family, Rabbi Gamliel, and heal Rabbi Tzadik. And then Rabbi Akiva, right? Rabbi Akiva, the Chassam Sofer, Rabbi Akiva heard, and he said, what? Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, why didn't you ask for the Beis HaMikdash? He said, Meshev Chachamim Ocher V'daitom Yisachel. And sometimes a Poisek, a Rav, has to make a tough decision. He has to make a gutsy decision. And you see, Mamash, you see the whole night of Yehuda here. You see, Koichai Gadol Bahayra, to learn Pshan and Rabbeinu Tam, not like anyone learned Pshan and Rabbeinu Tam. And to go Kineged Kol HaPoiskim, and even to say something that some thought is going Kineged the Torah and the Shulchan Aruch. Now, you didn't think so. But Kineged the Shulchan Aruch, Kineged the Maram de Rutenberg, who's Rabin Shul Kol Yisrael. Like the Shaul told the night of Yehuda. And Alpha Pekin of Yehuda persisted and he didn't back down. And he invoked Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Oilim Oimar, Oilim Oimar. But I think you see the meat of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, the great Jewish leader during such a critical time in Jewish history, of Anvesunusei Shrab Schaya that was Machru the Beis HaMikdash. You see the tchunois of a leader, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, who has to make a decision and he's back and forth and he says, you know what? Destroy the Beis HaMikdash. Obtain the Yavna v'chachamel. It's like this 2,000 years from now, people will still be learning Torah, and like this Klal Yisrael will be Chai v'kayim at Bi'ez Kol Tzedek. And that's the night of Yehuda. He invoked Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, and you see him he's taking on this Shiloh with the burden that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai took on the Nesius and the Hanhog of leading a Klal Yisrael. But one thing is clear. In the final analysis, what does this all boil down to? All the drama, these books that have been written off this is mamish, it's not shaykh, it's yontif in the vachin. But in the final analysis, what does it boil down to? Lamaisa, yeah, all this is easy. This is fun and games. This is the pachim ketanim. Boils down to a sugi and mite cut in daf yadal. It always does. It boils down to a shitas Rabbeinu Tam with kashas and Rabbeinu Tam and yoimu kol asrikin asurim sriku baisis mutarim. At the end of the day, it boils down to taira. That's what it boils down to. And the Chassam Sofer and the Noida Yehuda, there were sensitivities because of the times, no question. But at the end of the day, what it really, really boils down to, it boils down to a chiddush from Rabbeinu Tam, how to understand Rabbeinu Tam, that Yehuda understood it one way, everyone else understood it another way, and that's really at the core what this whole pulmus was all about.